Rewiring Your Life with Erica Spiegelman and Marcia Stone. Wellness, inspiration, support.
Welcome to Rewiring Your Life. My name is Erica Spiegelman, and my co-host Marcia Stone is not here today, but we have an amazing guest, and we pride ourselves on providing inspiration, support, community, and talking to people that are changing the world of wellness. Today we have on Dr. Patrick Porter. He's an award-winning author, educator, consultant, entrepreneur, and speaker. He has 20 years of experience operating the largest self-help franchise in the world. He has become highly sought after as an expert in the world of personal improvement and has sold over 3 million of his self-help products worldwide. Dr. Porter has been on the cutting edge of brainwave technology for 32 years. He's a co-developer of MC2, the first personal light and sound brain training machine. It was voted the best gadget of the year. He's done so much in the world of health apps and is the founder of BrainTap. I want to talk about his book as well, Thrive and Overdrive, and so much more. So, Dr. Porter, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Yes. I mean, you've done so much in the world of brain fitness and helping people overcome stress and weight loss and smoking. And, you know, we have lots that we could cover. But just for now, can you tell us a little bit about your company and how you began a business in building brain fitness and brain health?
Yeah, my past company you spoke of was a franchise, and I sold that early in 2000. And I was retired living in San Francisco. And I thought, well, I really want to develop a new device, one that incorporates not only light sound, but also frequencies. And there was so much new research coming out that we decided to create the headset, the BrainTap headset, and start getting it out to the world. And it seems like we happened upon restarting this company in 2014 at the right time, because so many people are so stressed out and need so much mental wellness going on. It just seemed to be the right time.
And for people listening that aren't familiar with BrainTap and what does that mean and how can that help me, can you just kind of break it down simply for people to understand how this could help bring positive change in their life and improve their life?
Yeah, so number one, everything that we process in our world is through light, sound, and vibration in some form. So what we're using is we're using this technology to imitate nature. So I like to tell people what ancient traditions would do as far as bringing back mental wellness through whether it be meditation, movement, grip, breathwork therapy. We've combined it all into one headset. And what we've done is we've actually now, because of the science that's out there, the neat thing with like the biohacking craze and all this that people are looking at their own biometrics is that we can actually show them measurable results. Such as the things this past year, we actually presented two papers at NIH just to prove to them that you can downregulate the stress hormones, which are causing our brain to shrink during years of what we just experienced, and reorganize the 54 different neurotransmitters just by using this light, sound, and vibration system. And you can also do it with an app. You can download it and use your own earbuds. And we can get into the science of why it all works, but our brain basically is always interpreting our reality and then matching that reality. We have what we call frequency following response, which means if we're in an area of, let's say we're in the mountains and we're just looking at the beautiful tree lines and all of that, that's very relaxing, but it also triggers something called GABA, which happens when you're in the theta brainwave, because the mountain is actually resonating at 7.8 hertz frequency. So our body, our nervous system literally matches that frequency. And then it starts to create the chemical corresponding relationship, in this case being GABA, which is a very relaxing. Most adults are missing theta. That's why they don't sleep. Two-thirds of America isn't sleeping, not because they don't have delta. It's because they don't have theta. And most people don't understand the sleep cycle. They think it has to do with just going to bed and closing your eyes. There's a lot more to that to get really good sleep hygiene. So that's probably the number one thing people tell us is they use it for sleeping, to sleep better.
That's amazing. How do you get theta in a natural way? I mean, how would people be able to achieve that?
Well, you could do it with like going to a drum circle or going to some kind of different deep musical experience or doing some plant-based medicine. Those things do it. Naturally, people only usually go through theta twice a day, which means when they go to sleep and when they wake up, and it's a very small amount of time. And because they're not sleeping deep enough, they're not getting enough theta, which means they're not producing enough of that neurotransmitter. that's the key. So you
so
can
it's also, like in the deep sleep. It's like the
Right when you're coming out of sleep, a lot of times people have that inspirational moment, like that spark of brilliance that says, "Hey, I had this problem in my life, and now I have this solution comes to my mind." Almost every great inventor had a way to trigger that, like Einstein and Edison and Tesla. They all did what they called cat naps. And when we get into that deeper state, the problem is most people just fall asleep. You know, so they're so used to just going to sleep. So meditation isn't sleeping. And when we talk about, that's why we call ours brain fitness, because we're going to actually train you to use more of your brain's capacity. That's where the tap comes in. Tap into your brain's full potential, because I don't think anyone would argue that they're not using their brain's full potential. And, you know, it's kind of like playing golf. You could have your best round of your life and you'd always go back to one or two holes and say, I think I could do better there or there. You know, you just never, unless you're totally enlightened, I don't think you're ever going to get to the point where you know what you're there. In fact, Rod Hairston, who's a really great motivational speaker, he has a saying, there is no there, because people start thinking that there's some destination, like you're going to graduate and somebody's going to give you an enlightenment poster. It's basically you're going to live your life. I think enlightenment in my kids means that what you do is having an effect on other people. And the key thing that we did, and it fits right in with your podcast, is we did a study with women 55, 65 years old, and we showed them through BrainTap that they could have 49% neuroplasticity. This is rewiring their brain. We actually, in 6 weeks, took them off the dementia scale. So when you talk about what's going to rewire the brain, light, sound, and vibration in the right frequencies. We have a very specific algorithm that's, of course, that's our secret sauce in what I've developed, but we train the brain. So it's not just one session. A lot of people go, well, I've heard binaurals, I've listened to this frequency. What we found is it takes training each time, something different. We have, that's why we have 1,800 sessions. So people have a lot of variety and they can do their brain training in their own. You can basically figure out your own brain training method. Now, if you have Muse or you have another piece of equipment that can measure your brain waves, that makes it even more exciting, because then you can see the brain changing.
Well, you have to do this also. I mean, you know, I have a book called Rewired, which I wrote for people in addiction and recovery. And it's not that I'm a neuroscientist and I'm talking about the actual science behind rewiring, although I am talking about creating new pathways, neural pathways through a repetition and through creating new habits and changing our routines. And I think that that too has to be looked at with what you're talking about. I mean, we have to do something consistently for us to see a change. We can't just do it once a week or, you know, twice a month, right? It has to be something that, you know, you kind of commit to. And I think also the power of wanting to change, like you're talking about too, half the world's not using their capacity of their brain is because we're not mindful in general. Like we have to be really mindful and intentional about what we want to change in our lives. And although I may have a desire to change something, unless I follow that through with action, there's no use, right? So I always tell like my clients and the people that I, you know, how I've seen my life change is just through setting an intention and being thoughtful about it, mindful, and then consistent. Do you think that too is something that you guys,
oh yeah,
you know,
definitely. I believe fully in that. I mean, when I used to write the programs for DUIs for the state of Arizona, my dad, my start was in addiction therapy.
Oh, so okay. Wow.
So when you think about the big book, even it says you need to have a psychic change. Nowadays, we would say you need to rewire your brain. You know, that's what they need to do. If they don't rewire their brain, they'll just be thinking the same thoughts, trying to make a change. You've got to do it from, most people don't realize, the biggest part of being alcohol-free or drug-free is really realizing that there's an innate intelligence, something greater than you that can assist you. Because as soon as you believe you have the answers, it's like the doors of consciousness close on you, and you only have your limited beliefs and your limited outcomes. But if you live in a world of infinite possibilities and you realize that there's a conspiracy with you to succeed and you start to move in a more positive, optimistic pattern, then you're going to change. But as long as, like most people that we worked with DUIs, they were blaming the system. And as long as, you know, that's part of having that ownership in, you know, it, good or bad, we have to own what's happened to us so we can move on and make changes to it if we want for our future, you know, outcomes and things of that nature.
Yeah. So do you guys, you know, when you're talking about that, I'm just thinking of reframing, you know, reframing our thoughts too. It's very helpful. So if somebody's, let's say, depressed and comes to you for brain tapping or the brain tap for the app or for the headset or, you know, but if they don't change their thoughts or changing, reframing, like you're saying, there's a world of infinite possibility. If I'm somebody that says, there's nothing for me and I'm never going to do good and right and have all these limiting beliefs based on the way I was raised or how my parents raised me or, you know, society's influence or, you know, whatever it is, it's our old thought habits that don't serve us, old narratives. Isn't there a component of no matter how we want to change our lives using technology, using this, using that, don't we have to kind of also address the mental health piece of it would help this person so much more if they could just also see that, you know, that they're worthy or the affirmations, positive affirmations. Doesn't a component of that help?
Well, I do. I think one of the best books, and I'm gonna download your book and review it because it's a perfect for what I love to read about. But I think that there's a great book called Emotions Buried Never Die. And I think I recommend everybody I work with listen to that or read that book because there's always an emotional component. There's always a mental component. It's never just physical. And even though you might have to stretch a little bit, and we are non-physical beings, you know, we've proven this now. Even with Tom Brady, who's a very successful footballer, he has some clothing called TB12. That clothing was designed by our science officer. It actually has ceramics in it that reflect back our own body's infrared light. Every person has a light that can be measured now. We can measure that with photonic energy. We all have this. That's why they can see us at night with night vision goggles, is because our body actually emits 810 and 860 nanometer light. So when somebody used to say that they're a light being, that used to be like a metaphysical mumbo jumbo. Now we know that light is actually changing.
Literal.
The main thing it's doing is changing our epigenetics. So like when they read your book or they do some kind of mindfulness training, we know that mindfulness training can change 2,300 gene expressions. So that means that if you go into that meditation with a positive mindset, using those affirmations, visualizing those positive outcomes, living a life on purpose, every 40 seconds, they now say that through biophotonic exchange, our cellular makeup, our epigenetics is changing to bring about our best self in that moment. So if you really want to rewire yourself, you know, start changing those. They say that we talk to ourselves 80,000 words a day and 60,000 are negative. So that's the first place to start. You know, in a garden, you have to pull the weeds before we can plant new thoughts. So I think people need to, we call that disassociation, of course, in therapy. But we need to get people to recognize that you're not a behavior. You know, if you're an alcoholic, you might have the propensity and your body might not be able to handle it. But the reality is that you are an infinite being living an expression of life to your best potential. So how can we transform that potential and rewire your body and mind so that you think, act, and respond with health in mind instead of your past? You know, the past so far dictates, you know, the present. But you can have a different perspective. I think what we're learning with mindfulness is we can start living our life with a future projection instead of just a past circumstance.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I love everything you say. And I think that that's, you know, what you're doing is extremely helpful and beyond what, you know, I think the general public even knows is available. But, you know, we need to bring this more to like the mainstream and make this accessible and not even accessible in meaning like, you know, buying it, but just meaning the simplicity really of it. You know, I feel like some people get overwhelmed when I talk to them about neuroplasticity or this or that, or you could use this or do meditation or this. It sounds overwhelming for people, but really to our core, it's the most, I think, innate thing is to bring it back to breath, right? Bring it back to breath, bring it back to light, to sun, to vibration, to music, all these things that when we're young, you know, I have young kids and I see how well they respond. When I put on music, it's like they light up and they dance and their bodies move and right? And stress is released. And, you know, it's just little things that we forget as we become adults, we become programmed, we have, you know, our society markets pills and this and that, right? And it's like left and right, we're just bombarded by exterior things that maybe we don't need. And when we come back to really what's the basic, like you just said in the beginning of the show, is, you know, light, sound, and just the natural things that really can help us reprogram. How do you begin to motivate people to, you know, build these new skills or use these products when they're a little bit intimidated by it all?
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing is to find something that they're motivated to do. Most people are motivated to get out of their stress. You know, they don't feel comfortable with it. They're anxious. So if we give them a simple, and there are two simple breathing techniques I usually teach people right off the bat. And first thing in the morning, so that they're not using stimulants like coffee first thing in the morning, because that can throw off the nervous system for the whole day. I'm not against coffee, but that shouldn't be the first thing you drink.
But if you're super anxious.
Yeah. So the first thing should be at least 16 ounces of water with some salt in it, because your brain has shrunk 3/4 of an inch while you slept. And so we need to rehydrate it. So once we rehydrate it, and then we need to do some form of exercise, maybe get out and do some grounding. Those are really important. But then there's a breath of fire technique that they can go to YouTube and learn. But it's really a rapid breathing technique. And if people start doing that, they'll wake up a brain called SMR. And as we get older and better looking, what happens is, and more intelligent with age, we need to keep an SMR brainwave going. That's the one for cognition. And that's the one that atrophies. And it also has to do with our vestibular system, meaning how we balance ourselves. So if people are fearful of aging, the problem is during sleep. They didn't get the deep sleep they needed. It started first thing in the morning. They didn't start their brain off regular. I mean, coherent, right, meaning these two hemispheres are talking to each other. Mm-hmm. And then at night, if you're going to bed, if you don't do anything else to de-stress, like in my book, Drive and Overdrive, I give some tips. But this one, if you do a 4-8 breath, when you breathe into 4, you're actually triggering your sympathetic system. And it's okay to acknowledge that. You might even feel a little fear or a little anxious, but then breathe out to the mental count of 8 and connect that breath and continue to do that until you feel your body is like a wet dish rag, you know, just totally relaxed. And what will happen with practice is pretty soon you'll only have to do 8 or 10 of those breaths before sleep, and you'll clear out the stress of the day. Because if you don't do that before going to sleep, you can go into a sleep cycle with stress and you'll start gnawing at your teeth. You know, people that grind their teeth, or they wake up and they're balled into a knot or something. We need to unwind that nervous system so that they can really experience that deep level and profound relaxation, because that's when our superpowers happen. That's when our brain neuroplasticity actually happens. I mean, it happens during recovery phases, not during the stress phases of our life. So whether you're doing brain tap, mindfulness, whatever it is, you need some way to downregulate that nervous system so you can activate those, what we call the capacity to handle stress. Right now, we need that more than anything else. We need the capacity to handle the stress we're being presented with.
Yeah, I love that. And just creating these practices is so powerful. It changes your whole life. It changes your whole trajectory of your life and longevity and everything else. I wear a sleep ring. I'm not sponsored by this company, but it's called an Oura ring. And I've been tracking my deep sleep. I've been wearing it for like 2 years now. And I see, you know, deep sleep I get in the beginning of the night. I know now when I drop into it. It's typically always at the beginning of the night, maybe sometimes in the middle end, but typically, you know, and it's about an hour and 20 minutes is all we get of that. And, you know, and that's good. That's actually a good amount of time. If you get less than an hour, like 45, 50 minutes, you're in the red, and they're like, you know, this is, and I feel it. I don't feel rested that day. And I feel overstressed from that too. So it's interesting when you start paying attention to your sleep and to, you know, also like you're saying, if you don't have any kind of ways to de-stress at the end of the day, everything does get affected by that. And so this is just something I think everyone should implement somehow, even if they do it for 5 minutes. You know, people always tell me, Patrick, in my own private practice, like, I don't have the time. And I said, well, it's like, you know, you take the time to brush your teeth, right? You don't think about that. So we have to make things automatic, non-negotiable, whatever you want to call it. And so it's just about building, I guess, a non-negotiable system around these ways of living, honestly, so that you know, you can have optimal health, right?
Yeah. What we tell people is the 70% of America hits the snooze button at least once. You have a 10-minute window there, instead of hitting the snooze button, to do a mindfulness practice. You know, do something in the morning to set up your day. And alarms, actually, I'm kind of against alarms because they shock the nervous system. So I recommend people there's better alarms that don't shock the system. You know, maybe they wake up with light, or they wake up with nice music
light,
or something.
Yeah.
Some way to get the nervous system regulating appropriately. But I think that if people, and then at night, everybody has to go to sleep. So do something those two times at first. Once you start, one of the nice things about habits, once you start feeling the benefits of those habits, whether positive or negative, you're going to keep doing them. Your brain's going to go, I want to feel good. I want to feel more relaxed. And then you start activating, some people do it through nutrition. They get into nutrition, they start feeling good physiologically. They're not eating the junk food and the sugar and things like that. And they start thinking better. And then that changes their life. But I think if you do both from the physical and the mental side, you're going to have a very powerful change, and it'll be easier to make that transition to a healthier you when you don't fight against your body. The physiology is so powerful that, candy and sugar is like the worst thing for mental wellness. But people do it, we abuse sugar so much, it's just crazy how that happens.
Right. Well, sugar, alcohol, people drink at the end of the day, every day. I don't think that probably helps. It definitely doesn't help sleep, drinking before you sleep. I mean, we have so many so many things that are normalized in our society, which really detract from our health, on many levels. So can you tell us a little bit about your book, How to Navigate Your Overloaded Lifestyle?
Yeah, what that's talking about is, I think a lot of people are looking for stress reduction by eliminating things in their life that are causing them stress. That's virtually impossible. Yeah. Nobody can take away the stress because it's all self-perceived. What we need is a better way to have a capacity to handle that stress. Or periods of stress are okay, but the problem is most people don't disengage. They have those periods of relaxation, those periods of healthy periods. People seek out alcohol and drugs, pornography, whatever it is, to get that dopamine release. When there's more healthy ways to do that, and they become addicted to, just like our cell phones, the average person looks at their cell phone 300 times a day. That's a dopamine addiction. What I do is I have it scheduled so I get an update I get an update 3 times a day. That's when I look at it. And I don't, because if not, I'd be being dinged, every 5 seconds. Mm-hmm.
Or you could turn off your notifications, right? I never have anything dinging. Yeah. Yeah.
That's great. I think that's a good one too. Yeah.
Yeah. No, these are great tips. I mean, this is what we need, is to kind of be mindful again of that as well. And like you said, it's once we find these negative ways of coping, we think coping, quote unquote, if it doesn't add value to our lives, it's really just going to start to eat away at us. So that's important that we bring mindfulness to this. And thank God for someone like you that's doing this. I really appreciate you sharing with our audience everything you're doing. I could probably talk to you for another hour on all the things that you have going on. But could you tell people where to find you and BrainTap? And yeah.
I think the best thing is they can go to braintap.info. So it's braintap.info. They can download that book, Thrive and Overdrive, for free. There's no credit card necessary. And they get to try out the app for 15 days. So try the Brain Fitness app out. There's a 21-day trial that's a jump start. I recommend they get on that and try it and then see how it works for them. The one thing is to just evaluate it for yourself. That's the key.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do it myself. I'm very... And tell my clients as well. I'm very, very excited to try. Thank you so much for being with us today. And thank you for all the work you do and the inspiration that, you gave our audience today. So I appreciate it. Dr. Porter, one more question. We always ask somebody before the end of the show, which is, what is your superpower?
I think my superpower is showing people that their greatest faults actually their incubator for their superpower. When I work with people, I show them, they think that they have a fault, but I tell them, you have that fault only until you master it, and now you can go out and serve the world with it. And I think I've been doing that for 30 years, and that's what I love to do, is help people realize that they're not limited. You are infinite.
Right, exactly. I love that. And just to piggyback on that really quick, I was just talking about that this morning, that I see qualities in my kids or I see qualities in people and we'll say, oh, well, they're too intense on this or this, that. We can always use our traits for our greater good, right? Or we can, use it to kind of veg out or to overthink or be overcritical. But I think it's just about reframing, right? Of like, we all have different great personality traits, and some of us are more intense, some of us are more focused, some of us are more laid back. But if we use those qualities for our greater good and see it as a good quality, then things start to change.
Exactly. And intention drives behavior, which is emotional. So if we set the right intention and drive that right emotion, that emotion that's driving the behavior is going to be more compelling and create better relationships, and it starts with ourselves. So I think you're exactly right. I mean, once you realize, you know, that's why in my first book I wrote called Awaken the Genius, I talked about how I was blessed to be the son of an alcoholic, because it doesn't serve me to talk about, I mean, I could be an alcoholic. I know all the traits, but I choose to do all the different traits. You know, so the key is, what are you focusing
exactly
on?
You know, choice. Mm-hmm. Right, choice and intention. I love that. Yeah, I agree with you completely. Well, thank you so much for being with us today, and thank you all for listening, and until next time, be well.